Hello and welcome to the Monday MooCast. We've made it to episode 38, and after a long hiatus, we are back. I am Mike O'Mara, and I'm here with...
Andrea Misal.
And we've got a new member. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
That's Ryan. Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am in my 30s, aging on my way up, but gamer most of my life. I currently work in an advertising company, so I get to be spending most of my day being around creative people and enjoy that. And I'm pretty passionate in the gaming and nerd community. Spend a lot of time doing local stuff around Chicago, reading, watching movies, and definitely spending a lot as much time as I can gaming across all available platforms.
Right, so we're pretty excited to have Ryan on the show because, as you know, if you've been listening to us before, we, meaning me and Andrea, are mostly console gamers, but Ryan here plays a lot of PC games, so hopefully we'll get some good perspective on what's going on the PC side of things. Let's talk about what we played. It's been such a long time.
Yeah.
Andrea, what have you been playing for the past month?
Wow,
it's
yeah.
It's been so long. We've got the PS4 right now. We got the Xbox 720. It's been a while.
Yes. Well, let's see. I've been playing Tomb Raider. Overall, it's really good. You know, I have my complaints about the game. It's honestly, I'm not really following the story. It's kind of out there.
What?
It's weird. Well, you know, it's Tomb Raider, so you have to collect their different documents and relics and all these collectibles, which I like to collect them. That's entertaining for me.
Sure.
But
are you 100% are you a completionist in the complex, like the collecting area?
Oh yeah, actually that's what I've been doing recently. I know I'm getting really close to the end of the game, and I don't know if I'll be able to actually go back to the previous levels. I don't know. I really should just look that up and find out. But I've been actually, yesterday I spent some time and I went back to the first level. There are certain campsites that you can fast travel to different sections of the island.
Okay.
So is it really a level you're going back to, or is it an area of the map?
It's more of a section of the level, because the whole game takes place on this creepy island. It's kind of like Lost. There are weird people on the island. A lot of people die.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a completely. I thought it was a completely racist game because, like, I would just see her like killing natives, and I thought, like, wow, that's a little bit out there.
Far Cry-esque.
Right.
Well, yeah. The people on the island are nuts. But,
nice to foreigners.
Yeah, so I go back and I collect the stuff and, like, documents and things. You actually need to read them so you learn more about the characters and the story itself. At this point in time, I'm just kind of skipping through that because I just want to collect them and continue collecting all of the items so I can 100% the game. Maybe not 100% the game. But
So was the story not compelling enough? You know, was the narrative that they were using not good enough to keep that going, where they kind of put a lot into the diaries to be like, go find that stuff because we're not going to spend
time. That's what it feels like.
Okay.
I mean, I probably should pay attention more. No, that's...
But that's part of their own device, you know.
Right.
If they're not pulling you in, making the story seem compelling enough, then reading audio logs and diary entries and some of those things, a lot of people start to push them aside if it's not if the mechanism isn't compelling enough.
And I know I've said before that what I really like about games is a really good story.
Right.
This one doesn't really have it, but I find the gameplay and collecting everything is entertaining enough on its own that the storyline, which is kind of predictable. With, you know, like with all the characters and whatnot, it's not as important.
So I have to bring this up because I've heard it from a number of people now, and I haven't played the game yet, so I have no first-hand experience. But given that you are a female gamer, do you find it upsetting to have your female avatar be like brutally massacred every time she dies? Because I've heard from multiple sources now that the game is like brutal.
It's pretty graphic. Like there's this one section you're going down this river and it'll go into slow motion. You have to, you know, like guide her to the right way to avoid the whatever's in the way.
Okay.
And man, if you miss, she gets like this spike, wooden spike, like right through her head. I'm like, so that happened to me a lot.
And they go too far. It's not like it's implied. It's you see it and then it sits on the body as you watch.
Right.
Yeah.
To the point of the dripping blood off of the.
It's pretty graphic. I guess it doesn't. I don't want to say it doesn't bother me, but it's
doesn't bother you especially, like
just because most of the games I play are so violent anyway.
That's another kind of aspect to it though. Like I wonder if people are having this reaction because she's a female. Like we see guys get blown to bits in every single game there is, you know. But usually you're not a female Avatar. So now is it worse because like we don't want to see like girls get their heads blown off. It's like a guy thing to do.
Although a lot of the guys in many of those games, you know, when they get gibleted, it ends up being pretty quick, and there's the lingering death. You know, any of the games you got the character, whether it's a guy or a girl lying on the ground, and the camera pans back, and it gray screens, or it's pretty quick. But they go with exhaustive accuracy in this game to kind of do that. And I think there was a lot of talk for all of the PR campaigns that they worked on for Tomb Raider, and they have some bad things that they attempted to vocalize and pull back from. But I think the advice the approach that they were using was maybe trying to connect you to the player more by watching her being brutally treated. And whether it's a guy or a girl, it seems like a device that they overused or went maybe too far.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess that.
Well, just playing off the guy versus girl thing about it, if you take two other recent games, you take Far Cry 3 and take Dead Space 3. In Far Cry, if you get shot but you don't die, you have to like dig in your own arm and like pull out the shrapnel.
Oh yeah, my brother's told me about it. Right. He's played the game.
Or like your finger gets twisted out and you have to break it, and like it's like you see all that in first person, it's disgusting. Like it's disgusting every time you heal yourself.
What got me is that I was watching my brother play it once, and his character, like, you pull out a needle.
You gotta jab yourself with the like adrenaline and stuff like that. And that's definitely, I mean, that's definitely brutal. And I love the game, and I've played 20 or 30 hours of the game so far, and like every time it happens, I'm like, oh, like even like a month after beginning to play it. But for some reason, for me, like, I guess I'm desensitized to it because it's a guy character, and I'm like, yeah, you know, like whatever. And if you go on like big sites like IGN, GameSpot, they have like montages of like, they have like gruesome montage videos where it's like they celebrate, they're like, look at how gross this game is. Or like Gears of War Judgment is the same kind of thing. They came out with like a montage, like, look at guys blowing themselves away. Or Dead Space 3 is gruesome. Like, when those necromorphs kill you, like, they don't just kill you. Like, they rip your head off and eat it. Like, it's like disgusting. But because they're all male avatars, everyone's like, yeah, bro ham. But like, there was an outcry for Tomb Raider. It's like, how could you do that to poor Lara? And I'm like, I get it. Like,
yeah. It's funny you mention those videos because, I've been going back and collecting the items I missed. So I usually pull up a YouTube video that will show me where they are, you know, to help guide me through
you
it.
You cheater.
Well, some of them, like the level-specific challenges, they're impossible if you don't know what you're looking for. Like, you may need to light a certain number of torches in one section.
Oh, and then
of
something
the
like pops. Yeah.
Like, something like that is ridiculous. I couldn't do it all by myself. But anyway, so I'm YouTubing these walkthroughs, and you know, like, the related videos pop up.
Right.
There was one, it was like Tomb Raider, all death scenes.
Oh, no.
I didn't watch it.
Who love torture violence porn. Against women.
Yeah.
Well, there's a dialing up of a lot of torture porn, that idea of just movies, you know, Hostel and Saw, and, you know, transferring in. I mean, it does that level, you know, maybe the male thing, even stepping further back, going to the character, does it find yourself, you know, is it strictly for fun factor? Is it strictly for shock value? Are you connecting more with the character in that?
Right.
And I haven't played the game. I'm really excited. I followed the franchise for years.
Yeah.
And I was excited about what is now the second reboot of Tomb Raider at this point, because the last reboot didn't go so well.
No, it didn't.
But this one being the next reboot, I was really excited. And despite some of the gaffes around there, publicity around, you know, hey, you're going to attach more to her because she's going to be a rape victim, you know?
Right.
Like, really? That's how you engender that, this whole kind of the level. And then you go, okay, we're going to go from this end to the other extreme of just brutalizing her.
Right.
So you feel like you are this kind of god character saving her in this level. So, you know, I'm nervous about playing the game and getting to that point of realizing, like, wow, now you are just a shill for the story. You're not, whether you're a guy or a girl, it's just a traveling, and when the story sounds like a little thin, that's where the story's thin. If the character's choices, if it's those things that aren't moving her forward, you could put up with those moments that get to be really extreme because you're like pushing forward. I got to get on. She's got to, but just got to get her off the island.
Right
seems a little loose to watch that much torture.
Even though you're on this island, there are so many places to explore. I mean, there. You know, it's not just like trees everywhere.
Right.
They do such a good job of that. The environments are different enough, and the graphics are really
good. Yeah, it certainly looks pretty. Yeah.
So that helps. Because, you know, like, well, if it's just an island, trees everywhere. No, you find, like, these underground bunkers and research labs and all those sorts of things. So.
Have you played the completely worthless throwaway multiplayer?
Ah, funny you mention that. A little while ago, I said, okay, you know what? This game has multiplayer.
Yeah, you might as well.
Let's give it a go.
Yeah, you love it, so.
So, you know, I'm loading. I'm staring at the loading screen. Mm-hmm. A few minutes go by. Mm-hmm. I was probably waiting about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. I'm like, you know what? No.
So you gave up?
Reticulating splines.
That was my one and only attempt at playing the multiplayer.
You rage quit out of the start menu?
It wouldn't load. It was ridiculous. Am I going to try it again? Yes, just because I want
to
see it. But
plus, the only DLC for it is going to be multiplayer. The only DLC.
So stupid. A Tomb Raider game should not have multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's
really
just
stupid.
A waste.
Yes. Well, it's self-exploratory, and I think they keep have gone so far the other way. You know, I've actually heard stuff that, other than the title, there really isn't any tomb raiding in this. That the tombs you go
not
into...
Not really.
They're like 5 minute side things.
Yes,
like, hey, I went in and went out with that. You know,
so it's mostly campsite rapage, not tomb raiding.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was a little disappointed about. It didn't feel like a Tomb Raider game. Mm. Like, oh, here's this tomb, go explore it. Ooh,
right,
fun.
Right.
This is more, there are a lot of battle sequences, which is fun, but I liked they at least kept, you know, some of the tombs and some of the collectibles where it still feels like a Tomb Raider game, but it is going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It's like Far Cry Hunger Games edition.
Yeah, kind of.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, so what would you give it out of 10 thus far, now that you've had it for a couple
of
years? Actually, how many hours are you in, just to kind of note it, so we know how far you've gotten?
Oh, I'm probably about 80% in the game. When, on the save things, it tells you the percentage
completed. Okay.
So I'm around 80%. So yeah, I've yet to finish the game. I'd probably give it like, maybe an 8.5.
Really?
Out of 10.
It's a big number.
So it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I bought it.
It's worth buying at full price yet still.
I think so.
Okay.
Overall, yeah.
Okay. Which, as the PC gamer here, is not available on PC. PC is actually, I think, $40 or $35 right now. So, price is very differently competitive on that one. So, almost picked that up on a Steam sale the other day.
Hmm. Awesome. So, Ryan, we did ladies first, and now it's new guy second.
New guy second.
What have you been playing?
So, in terms of, I think, the group here, I am the only one with kids. Hmm. So, I've got a 4.5-year-old who is now just demonstrating enough physical capabilities to play my Nintendo DSi.
Good.
And I have a Wii, which has basically been a Netflix box for a long time. But now that he's capable of playing that, and I actually have old GameCube games and controllers, we've been going back and blowing dust off of Mario Kart and Mario Party on all of these instances. So those are just kind of fun, high-level things to sit down with a kid and start to play and watch some of that level of learning and quickness and how fast they pick that up. So that's been fun just to play through those again that I hadn't played in, I don't know, whatever, 15 years or so since the GameCube ones, which is really strange because when you play like the GameCube game, the Mario Kart Double Dash, it looks exactly the same as the Wii Mario Kart.
Right.
The graphics level has basically been the same. And, you know, for good or not, I know you guys have talked, you know, Wii U or other games that have had a level of graphic quality that doesn't try to keep up with the generation's, the workhorse of the console that it's on.
Right.
So they keep a unique art style. And so he could move from the DS to the GameCube to the Wii, and it wasn't different enough. It wasn't like jumping. You know, I tried Little Big Planet Karting, which we have as well, and something about that wasn't clicking as easily, although that has a good graphic quality to it. Some way with the controls, Nintendo got that right across that franchise, across all of the different controls, whether it's the Wiimote, the original, and the GameCube controller, and the DS. So that's been kind of neat to see, you know, when you look at art direction, why you choose something, and you go, the controls are simple, they're easy, even a kid could play it.
Right.
So that's been fun. We played a little bit of that yesterday.
Cool.
And then in personal time, we'll probably maybe touch on this later, I did finally catch up, and I know the podcast did talk quite a lot about Aliens Colonial Marines. And as Mike and I are pretty diehard Aliens fans, between comics and books and movies, and I even watched Prometheus a couple of times again.
Ooh,
in terms
of
the whole story, I had mentioned to Mike that, I don't know what you guys were thinking, I actually was kind of liking the beginning of Aliens, the kind of getting the sound effects again, and hearing, picking a lot of that stuff up for the first three or four levels seemed okay. It was working. And then somewhere right around the fifth or sixth sequence, it just jumped the shark. It was like, I was fine shooting people, which was, that was
fine. Fine shooting people.
Fine shooting people.
Because, you know, they throw this kind of new military group that you're dealing with in here. So it's not just xenomorphs and colonial marines.
Yeah.
So it felt a little awkward, but I kind of drank the juice in that one.
Right.
But then it just jumped the shark. And I don't need to go in specifics of, you know, the cast here and many writers have talked about it, but I think just as a larger whole, not having read any of the hype, and I think from any games that we do, it's an interesting question, which is, you know, how much do you need to play into the hype engine of what's coming out and how does it affect your gameplay?
Sure.
And I think Mike played, you know, listened, watched, maybe even played an early demo or watched videos of that to where I was at. I just came at it knowing it's just another Aliens game and giving it a shot. So I had a little more latitude. Outside of that, you know.
No, I mean, I think I would have been. I think that the hype train killed it, for sure. Especially the E3 demo, the last E3 demo they showed was like incredible. The lighting was incredible, like the
and
dynamic,
ultimately inaccurate. It wasn't actually what the game was.
Right, the dynamic AI was incredible in the demo, and all the sound effects were right, and all the, you know, like, and so like to only have the sound effects really make it into the final product was super disappointing.
And I walked that line between understanding. They tried to shoehorn this story in between Alien 3 and Alien 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are spoilers there, but it is just why. You know, it felt like what they tried to do was kind of strange when ultimately I don't need to see Bishop again. I don't need to see those characters in order for it to feel as part of the franchise.
Right.
The Marines and the Xenomorphs are unique enough that they could do their own thing on another planet with their own plot and thread and on that end. So we'll put that to rest and let it, you know,
let it run.
Devour itself with its own aesthetic blood.
So sad.
Finished a couple days ago, Alan Wake's American Nightmare.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of what I've got right now, I've got a ferocious amount of backlog that I get to, and over the time you'll start to hear, as with kids, the amount of time I can sit to give to a play session ranges anywhere between half hour and 2 hours at most. So it's hard. So I finally got to catch up to this one, which was an Xbox exclusive, at least for a while, and then eventually moved to PC. And if you liked the Alan Wake games, game, and the gameplay mechanism that they had of the light and the conserving your ammo and a lot of that, all that is still there. I definitely had a high abundance of ammo. I was rarely ever feeling like I was down on ammo. There's, you know, you have 10 batteries, you can burn through them, but I found that I never even burned through a single battery in the play.
Did you play on normal?
I played on normal on that one, and it, you know, it was a fun little visiting of it, but those who've played the Alan Wake story, it is messed up. It is hard to follow.
You think
you get it until you realize you don't get it.
Yeah.
So this is another encounter between Alan Wake and Mr. Scratch, his kind of alter ego, in this one kind of three-section sequence that you end up repeating over and over and over again, and your character learns more each time.
It's like Alan Wake's Groundhog Day.
It is Alan Wake's Groundhog Day, just a lot darker through that. The voice acting for almost everyone, even including Alan Wake / Mr. Scratch, was pretty cardboard.
Really?
And that was what was kind of hard. I think that was a good thing in the original game led through and kind of carried that story through.
Sure.
But this was kind of pedantic and wandering through that. It felt like they brought in a couple of voice actor interns. They could have even been voice actors. They could have been a developer that was, you know, to cut budget, they just said, all right, Bob, you've been on this, and Cindy, you're doing this. And because the characters in a lot of the sequences don't even move or they barely even shift, it's like they're an android stuck, you know, without any servo motors, and the voice matches the same thing. But if you want a good 5-hour play, it was definitely fun. The last way to round it out, and we might touch on this later, Guild Wars 2. So
yeah.
I pounded a pretty good maybe 20 hours out over the last couple of weeks on that, and that for me that's kind of a big deal do that. Got jazzed up by a couple articles, but they released a really awesome April Fool's / kind of holiday piece of content. That, for those of us as gamers, was an 8-bit throwback.
Well, that's awesome.
So, inside the game, there are these characters known as Asura, which are kind of little magician-y gremlin Geomancers characters. They're a very unique race.
Okay.
Inside there, and they have a lot of kind of mechanical machines that do things, but more in the magical side as opposed to the industrial side. So they have, because they got these magical machines, they created this interesting portal, and you get to go in this portal and you play through 8-bit recreations of certain parts of the world with your character.
That's cool.
Wow.
So you can get skins for your weapons. Guild Wars is big on skins for the type of thing. So you can get 8-bit sword, 8-bit staff, 8-bit shoes, 8-bit armor to eventually go on your character in the world. And that's been really fun. And they're with the no monthly payment model, there's that less of guilt feeling through a lot of that.
So is that game, is it through microtransactions then that they make extra money?
There are some of those. The microtransactions that are there are not game enhancing.
So
most of it is cosmetic enhancing.
It's like cool costumes and stuff.
Cool costumes. The only thing, whether it's game enhancing or not, you can pay for more storage space.
Oh, okay.
Inside that. But that's really more inventory management than it is improving your play style.
So no like heavily. XP boosts or anything like that?
Not that I have come across, but don't quote me on that. There are these items, they're one kind of main transactions. They have, it's called the Black Lion Trading Company, and many MMOs have some kind of overlying auction-ish type of house.
Right.
You can use real money to buy gemstones.
Buy them quicker.
These gemstones you then can convert into coins, but they have these things called the Black Lion treasure chests that you will find throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get them is to use coin and gemstones to buy keys in order to unlock them. I haven't delved too far into the mechanics of that. There may be ways through coins you earn to buy those keys, but I think a lot of it is gems that you then can use to redeem those. So at the moment, you know, I don't need to do that. It's not at the level of kind of what I know about Dead Space 3, where, you know, while those, the transactions you pay for may give you an edge, ultimately you could play through that whole game without buying a single thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Through that. So while some people may not like that, at least the game is balanced correctly in Dead Space that you're okay. So Guild Wars is not based upon that premise. And they've never been. So it's skins, it's costumes, type of thing.
That's cool.
And that. So
it's cool.
They've made it up on expansions. So the last Guild Wars 1 had 3 expansions to that. So that's where they ended up making their money.
Cool. Have they announced one for 2 yet?
They have not. They're still there in, I think, their third batch of big content, so they had a
patches
big,
and stuff.
Well, I mean, patches if you want to kind of categorize it, but it is big content releases that they're doing. They don't really refer to them. This is patch, like Blizzard does. Hey, this is World of Warcraft patch 1.6, and along with it comes the,
which is like 20 gigs.
Yeah, but they do a Winter's Day event, so they do about a month of cool winter holiday events. They had a Halloween event. They had the first world-changing event back, and I think it was September, something of the Shores, where all these sea creatures came out and actually added some new islands to the world and took away some towns. Like, they actually already, within a couple
That's
of months
cool.
of launch, already were affecting their world. And they are in a Flame and Frost pack right now for a kind of more higher level content. So,
cool.
That's what I've got.
That's awesome.
Back to you, Mike.
I have been, oh my God, it's been so long since we did an episode, and I play way too many games. I will hit, I guess, the ones I spent the most time on, because otherwise I'd be here all day. I've been playing some Far Cry 3.
Getting your tatows.
Yeah, that game is so awesome. It's so big, though, that I'm like drowning in it.
Like Skyrim. That's like, how I feel
like
Skyrim.
Like Skyrim. So Skyrim and Far Cry 3 are on the same level for me. Like, I love both of them. They're totally worth the purchase price. I've had such a good time with both of them. But I don't know if I'll ever really finish them. Because I have so many other games in my backlog and so many things that, like, I'm a very scatterbrained gamer, so like I want to get a taste of everything, and I only really ever have 2 or 3 hours at a time late at night, and that's the only time I have to play when I'm not working. So I can't sit with Skyrim for 2 hours because I'm like, I wasted my night. I wanted to play some shooting too. So like, so I feel bad, but like it's like I have to wait for like a spring break type of situation where I have 3 days off or something, where I could sit with Skyrim one day and be like, okay, like, I won't feel bad, because tomorrow I can play something else, you know? But Far Cry 3 is the same way. Like, I love it so much, but I feel like I get sucked in so easily because I love it, and then I'm like, God, there's that much more to do? Like, so...
Yep.
Do you find that I found that the people comparing those two, between Skyrim and Far Cry, that there felt a lot more realistic human people there. They felt a little more or less cardboard that they did from
Skyrim. Yeah, I think they're written well. I think with any game, I mean, maybe it's just a limit of just development time or hardware, especially on console still, but I feel like when you get a game that's that big, inevitably you're going to come across some, like, villagers that, like, look the same, sound the same, are kind of obviously a copy and paste from another village.
Sure.
That being said, I have found in every village in Far Cry there is at least one or two unique things going on within the townspeople that make me think of that village alone.
Right.
Which is cool, which adds reality to it. Like, what? This is one village where there's a bar, and there's just, like, these couple drunk guys always outside, like,
So you want to stand there and listen to the...
And I'm like, okay, that's that town, because that's where the bar is. And then there's another town where there's this crazy guy who hates dogs is, and, like, so, like, every time you go by there, he will give you some extra money to, like, shoot every dog near his house. Like,
he's... Dog town.
Right. So that's like, okay, I know, that's where I know where that town is, so...
And I think we, like, again, Skyrim, those were cities. Or at least they tried to make them like cities inside this. And like, this is the capital. I see 17 people walking around.
Yeah. Right.
So that would feel weird. Whereas Far Cry, you're on a small island.
Right.
You're going against small little villages. Right. So 10 people walking around
is
okay. It doesn't feel as like...
Yeah. And with extreme. the new, I got the DLC for it too because I love the game so much and I wanted the new weapons and stuff. With the DLC, they actually packed even more wildlife on the island. They gave like new kinds of animals to it. So it really... Sometimes there's a lack of people other than pirates to kill, but like the wildlife is incredible in that game. Like if you go anywhere off the beaten path, you will see a million different animals, and that's cool. So it does feel like a living, breathing place.
Which and is, ones that'll which mess you up if you're not paying attention.
They'll all mess you
up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, don't kill the cute little animals.
I have to kill the cute little animals when they charge me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
You gotta get a bigger satchel and a bigger backpack. Yeah. That's the only way you're doing it.
That's like the most anti-PETA game ever was Far Cry 3. Because like you kill everything that's endangered. Like everything.
That reminds me, I'm going to go jump back to Tomb Raider a little bit. The opening of the game, it teaches you, you know, like you have to hunt a deer. Like that's the objective because, you know, she's got to eat.
Sure.
And then that's the one and only time
you
so
kill
far.
An animal?
Yeah, except to do achievements, which I had to kill cute little bunnies for an achievement.
Oh,
I feel so guilty. I know, but I finally, that's done. I don't want to kill the cute little bunnies anymore.
Yeah.
So they introduce it, and then it's like, oh, just kidding. Yeah, never have to do this
it's
again.
It's probably because they're not. She's not quite ready as a character to start shooting people, though. Like, so if she has to shoot something
that's
moving,
a good point.
Let's start with a deer through that point. And then after that, you can get a grenade launcher and blow it
right
up.
Yeah.
With malicious
go from that to kill everyone. Yeah. So I've been playing, so some Far Cry 3, some Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of Middle-earth I'm still on. I love that game.
Yeah,
I love it so much. Yeah, I love that game so much.
And you had mentioned that, which I didn't know, is that it was free on the PlayStation.
Yes, yeah. If you, And there is, they just came out with Frodo and Saruman. Two of my favorite characters, so they keep coming out with, like, that game has been really good as far as content release for me. Like, as soon as I'm getting sick of it, they come out with another character I really like from the books.
Nice.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, they're, like, in my head or something, because, like, literally, every time I've tried to give the game up and be like, okay, I'm a little bored with it now, they're like, no, you have Saruman. I'm like, what, Saruman? And then I want to play for another week.
Yeah.
And then I get bored, and they're like, here's Frodo Baggins. But Frodo Baggins! You know, and they just came out with, like, a Mirkwood map, and I, like... Yeah, so they're, like, coming out with really cool stuff.
Well, I was going to ask, is it just new characters, or are they actually releasing different maps?
No, yeah, they came out with three or four additional new maps, a whole additional, like, survival wave mode, and, like, 10 extra characters so far? So it's, like, for me, that's enough content, because, like I said, I usually have bite-sized amounts of time to play the game. So, like, if I'm going between games, that's another one that I can easily jump in, play a couple matches, and be like, that's awesome, I got my Lord of the Rings.
And what does a character cost?
It's relatively cheap. It's 200 Microsoft points.
Okay, so whatever, I can't remember.
I don't even know what
that
is
$1.50
anymore.
Or is that $3.50? I don't know.
Whatever, it's not that much, though, yeah. It's like always what I have like left over from making a purchase.
Yeah.
They're
like,
smart. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, oh, sorry, you need 400 points.
Yeah.
Our lowest amount is, you know, 1,000.
Right. Dang it! Yeah. So I've been playing that. And then the two big games I've gotten in the past month, Bioshock Infinite, which has quickly catapulted itself to my favorite story-based game, I think, of all time. Like
a lot.
Which is saying a lot because I probably play 1,000 games a year. So it is incredible, is the only way I can describe it. Like, it just keeps getting better. Like, I am, everyone has told me I'm near the end, and it's like one of those things where I desperately want to reveal the secrets of the end game, but I don't want it to end. It's so good.
Yeah, I know
it's
what you mean.
So good.
So what's bubbling up? What's the...
Like, what are the themes?
Yeah, what are the themes? What are the
without
things?
Giving anything away, it really makes you think about what time is and what reality is, and...
Sounds like The Matrix.
Yeah, honestly, it's...
What
that,
is real?
No, that would be a good analogy. It would be Matrix mixed with Back to the Future?
The Fountain, yeah.
And mixed with... any kind of sci-fi where there's an alternate universe where you can, like, where it's two different sides of the coin. Where it's like, if you think of you in this reality, if you imagine you projected across a million realities and everyone is living in tandem but you can't see the other side, this, like, lets you see the other side.
Okay.
That just got pretty big.
It's, it's... Awesome. Like,
so it's not Booker T or whoever the guy's name is.
Well, it is, but it's not
running around with a gun. It's not him just running around with a gun,
right.
Saving a girl.
Not, but that's the incredible thing too. Like the AI of Elizabeth, the girl that you rescue, and then she's with you the whole rest of the game, is so good. Like at any moment, whether in combat or walking around, you can just like turn and look at her, and she is doing something and looking some way on her face. And saying things that are extremely relevant to the moment right then. So there's no cardboard about her. Like, she feels like a living character.
Is she killable in the game? In the sense of, like, when you're running around, or will she always stay up?
I think she always stays up.
Okay.
Because she's really resourceful. Like, she will take really good cover and run to another room. And she knows that she's not, she's a pacifist. So, like, she knows that she's not a combatant.
Okay.
So, like, as soon as people attack you... Like, she will do the appropriate thing. She'll be like, oh, God! And then she'll, like, find somewhere else.
So there'll never be a point where you're watching three enemies pound on her and she's just staying.
Nope.
Because she has
infinity
hit points.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, they will... the AI is really good. It always...
Breaking my experience.
No, no.
I have to protect you, but you seem to be doing perfectly good there on your own.
Yeah, no, and what I would say is makes it really incredible is it never feels like one of those co-op games that you try to play without a co-op partner. Where that happens, where it's like your AI co-op is just like taking down everything
or not doing anything.
They're just
there and maybe they're a helpful distraction.
No, she is awesome. She will say relevant things. She will call out special enemies. She'll be like, oh my God, look, there's a... Whatever.
Oh.
She will scrounge around for things and then toss them to you in combat. It's the best thing ever. It's like, it is so awesome.
Now, are you yelling at her to throw things to you or...
She's completely thinking on her own.
So if your health is low, she'll throw a... red potion at you or
if
whatever.
She finds it. Sometimes she doesn't find it.
Sure.
It's whatever is in the space. It's awesome. It's so... I can't even describe how cool
how
it is. It is so cool.
Now, would she ever throw you something like a potion when you're like, I got this covered into your brain as a gamer, you know, and she throws you the potion and heals you, and then you can't go pick that potion up later, right?
Yeah, you can't go.
So, are you ever finding yourself being like, God damn it, I knew I could have gotten through that.
No, I've never.
Okay.
I've never. Yeah, it's so good. No, it's just so incredible. The story, the gameplay is so smooth. It's incredible.
And it's not connected in any other way other than it's the same universe to Rapture and...
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, except it messes with your mind the same way. Except the fact that the writing is so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I think Bioshock 1 was.
And is there a central character kind of like Ryan was in the first...
Yes.
Sequence.
Yes.
Okay.
So there is this prophet, this guy who has made this utopia in the sky... And everyone worships him like God. And he has twisted the narrative to fit his reality. So, like, he broke away from the Union, broke away from the United States, and, like, just floated up into the sky with the city and said, screw you all, I'm taking my city and leaving. and everyone that went with him just, like, followed everything he said because they think he's prophetic.
Sure.
And they think he can see the future and all these things.
And is, what is it, Atlanta or Columbia? Columbia, I think.
Columbia.
Yeah. Is it populated with actual people?
Tons.
Okay, so there are people walking around.
Tons. It's
like
incredible.
Rapture and,
no,
and
it's
that.
No, it's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. I'm playing it on console. When it gets cheap on PC, I think I'm going to do that too, because
mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine what it looks like on PC, because like on Xbox, it looks incredible. Like, it looks incredible and plays incredible. And I was actually worried about that, like, how is it going to look so good and be so populous? But there are battles where there are tons of people on screen and tons of things happening, and it just, I don't know how they did it, but it runs really well.
Yeah, it's well, the people say that having a 7-year, 8-year console cycle is a bad thing.
No,
where people who've gotten, you know, notice squeeze every ounce of power out of those devices now, and that's what you're getting. You know, Assassin's Creed 3, you're getting big battle scenes with lots of bodies running around that you just can't get.
Yeah. No, it's I see games like that and I wonder like what the next Xbox and PS4 like I just
what
can't even.
What Ninja Fu under the hood are they figuring out somewhere?
But it's even if you like it's a good game for everyone. If you are if you are a sucker for good graphics and sound design, you will love it just for that. If you're a sucker for really good combat and AI, you'll love it for that. If you're a sucker for a really great story, you will love it for that. Like, it's an incredible, it's just incredible.
Now, does it have that weird sequence that, like, with the original BioShock 1 and 2, the Vita Tank, what I call the Vita Tank problem, but although they didn't really view it as
you mean the respawn problem?
The respawn problem of just, hey, you can go against an enemy, do a bunch of damage, if they kill you, you get back to a spawn point, and as long as you had patience enough to deal with that kind of fight a tank, back to the enemy, fight a tank, back
there,
to the enemy.
Yes, but the I can't give it away, but the way it ties into the story is really cool in this one.
Okay.
So there is a reason why you can't die in Colombia, but I can't tell you what
it
is.
But I'm assuming you still spawn back at somewhere else.
You still spawn somewhere else, but there is it's explained really well why, so I got over
it. And the Vita Tanks were fine, but as like a gameplay mechanism, it was just like...
Right.
That was like... There was no penalty for death other than a couple more minutes of running back to where I was.
Oh, there is a in-game penalty on your currency, so you don't have as much money to buy like the next... like whatever you want to buy.
More like the Borderlands, like when you die, it takes money out of you for respawn.
Right, and it gives the enemy back some of their life and you some of your life.
Okay.
So it's not like you can just keep bullet sponging the enemy and then they will stay low health, they'll go back up.
That's good. I'm glad they fixed that. I while it was a mechanism that they carried over from 1 to 2, which meant it felt considered the design, it felt like I was cheating the game.
Right, yeah. No, yeah. So, yeah, anyone who has not played that game...
Great.
Get that game on whatever console you choose or PC. Get it.
Now, does it have season pass stuff?
Yep. You know, there's like a season. What's the pass? There's a season pass. They've said that there will be at least four. There's four for the season pass, and they said if everyone buys it, which I'm sure everyone will at this point, they'll make more.
Single player, multiplayer, both.
It's only single player.
Okay.
It's only single player game.
So really, I was just gonna ask, like, what's the
no stupid
like?
Tacked on multiplayer? It's completely single player.
I love this game already.
It's completely single player, and it's completely worth it. Absolutely worth every penny and more. It's an incredible game.
And it's all solos. All one player, no co-op, no one takes
all solo. And you wouldn't want them to, honestly. As good as she plays, like you wouldn't want them to.
Would that be the worst insult? You know, you're like, God damn it, you're stupider than the AI.
Right,
you know?
Right.
No.
Which is usually the other way around. Right. Like,
just the way that the story evolves through first person is incredible. Like, it really uses first person in the best kind of way because you're never taken out of your character's eyeballs. And like the way that the other characters react to you and just the facial expressions and the way that they got all the dramatic moments is just, it's just awesome. It's the closest thing I think I've ever played to like actual feeling like I'm in a VR kind of thing where it's like, I'm actually living this. Like,
and you heard Ken Levine pull out of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some of that same reason, which was like, hey, you can throw as much money at me. You know, BioShock was on there, he was involved, but basically said, I can't tell the story that way that we need to. You know, there's not a lot of people that choose to keep that integrity of translating my property.
Right.
You know, the last one I could think of, which ultimately failed, was Chris Roberts from the Wing Commander series.
Right.
You know, hey, no one could tell the story as good as me, and unfortunately putting him on the big screen did not tell as good a story as you told in the video game format.
Right.
You know, and then... That's a good example, you know, whether Ken references that, whether he does or not, it's a good going like, can someone who was a video game person translate it to being a movie person?
Right.
Because they are different mediums.
Right. Yeah, so that's the biggest single player game I've got, and then the other game I got is Defiance, which is the first MMO that's actually released for consoles since Final Fantasy, 13? In 2006? So it's been that long since they've actually been able to release something, at least on Xbox. PS3 had some other stuff, and PS3 has Dust, but Xbox has not had any MMO since Final Fantasy. So Defiance just came out, and I'm pretty psyched about the show now that's going to be on Sci-Fi.
Why don't you set that out for the listeners who don't know kind of the premise?
Okay, so a really brief setup of it is there were a number of alien races who had to leave their home worlds, their whole galaxy, actually, their whole, like, Milky Way. And they came into our solar system. We don't know why yet, but they showed up on our doorstep, and they tried to be peaceful, but people being what people are and aliens being what aliens are, eventually it developed into a series of civil wars. So the aliens were fighting each other, and we were fighting all the aliens at the same time. So
Earth is basically just a battleground, a Gettysburg.
Right. So Earth got messed up pretty bad. What really happened that screwed the Earth up, though, is there are these things called arcs that every one of the alien races brought with them that included basically terraforming equipment so that they could turn Earth into the environment that they live in, not the environment we live in. And when they came eventually, like initially in peace, what they were trying to do is broker a deal with the Earthlings, with all of us, to say, like, look, we can't properly live on your planet without this equipment, but we're not going to force it on you, so can you give us part of the planet, and then we'll pay you back by teaching you all our technology, because they have all this technology, but they didn't have a means to live. But when it all devolved into war, all these arcs were like in orbit above our planet. Well, one of the alien races sabotaged the arcs, and they all exploded and fell to Earth all at once. So instead of like this controlled terraforming, they all initialized at once and destroyed our planet. Like,
sure,
completely ripped everything out and like put new plants that shouldn't be here and like new species that shouldn't be here and like screwed up all our cities and everything fell into dust and it's destroyed.
And that's the world you were thrust into.
Right. So the character you play is called an Ark Hunter, which is kind of like Borderlands, like a treasure hunter. Right. And Ark pieces that are still orbiting, they will fall to Earth. And when they fall to Earth, all these Ark Hunters like descend on it and like take the technology, because all the alien technology that we don't have yet is all stored in it. And there's this like huge booming black market, and that's kind of what the currency of the new future ruined dystopian Earth has become. It's like everyone's buying and trading this super technology.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what you're in. And there's still all this civil war going on. So,
right.
So we're trying to establish some kind of government, some kind of new society that includes all these alien races, but also trying to win this war for one side or the other, for some side. You pick.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you basically decide to be either a human or one of these alien races. You pick what kind of combatant you want to be. So are you like mostly a sniper, mostly an assault weapons guy, mostly a heavy weapons guy, mostly like a healer, blah, 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 blah. Pick these archetypes, and then you pick what kind of special powers you get. There's these different grids. So one is based on stealth, so you get like an active cloak. One is based on making you more powerful for a short period of time. One is based, I think, on more healing, and one is based on machinery, I want to say, like better at building and maintaining machines and heavy weaponry and things like that. You're kind of put in this humongous world that's all around San Francisco Bay Area. And they're just like any MMO, there's story missions that give you big loot. There's instances that like you have to go into with multiple people because the characters are way too difficult to defeat on your own. There's dynamic things that happen just randomly, and you can choose to be a part of those battles or not. And everything in between. There's a trading thing, an auction house, just like any real MMO. The cool thing is that everything that happens in the main episode missions, month to month, is going to influence what happens to the main characters in the sci-fi show once it starts. So.
And that's part of the big premise, the fact that the game is plugging into a TV show on sci-fi.
Right.
On that end.
Right.
Do you know how, you know, because TV shows get canceled all the time, how
right.
many, have they, how, you know, have they signed for a whole season? Have they signed
they
any,
have a,
any of
they have a They have a pilot on the 15th, and they are signed for a whole season, so who knows?
Okay. Yeah, whether it's some range, but they're signed for a season, that's a good thing, as opposed to fighting for each week or every 2 weeks to say,
right.
we're going to get canceled. But
right.
that idea, so that some level effect of things you do in the game will affect
right.
some impact into the show.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Eventually.
Yeah.
That's sweet. You know,
yeah.
I know there's been things that have tried that or talked about wanting to do that have
right.
not done well.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, if anything, it's getting me sucked into the world, and now I actually want to watch a show on sci-fi, which has been a long time for me.
Now, what are you finding inside there? Is it the story? Is it the gameplay mechanics? You know, because there's a lot of MMOs trying to figure out their home now with going free to play, and they have arcade mechanics. You've got Elder Scrolls trying to figure their place out. Like, what are they doing maybe differently?
Well,
or maybe the, what's selling you?
They've got I like this. I like the convoluted warness about the storyline. Like, I like that it's not so cut and dry. Like, usually there's only there's a good side and a bad side.
Sith Jedi, yeah.
And that's not the case. And so I like that. I like the whole trying to scrounge for survival kind of thing about it. I like, this is only a week in, so I don't know if this is going to hold, but I really like the community. Everyone seems to be really nice. Like, I don't know anyone on my friends list that has the game except for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing completely with randoms, but I wanted to do bigger missions. So I had to join up with random people and be like, look, I really want to do this. Will you guys do it with me? Everyone's been super nice.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's cross console. It's and
no,
PC, or
not yet.
Are you only in the Xbox instance?
Not yet. It's only Xbox, only PS3, only PC for now. They have said publicly they have the technology to put them all together, but they haven't yet.
Gotcha. So if you buy it on one of those other platforms, you're going to be playing in your own instanced version.
You're playing with other PS3.
World.
Yeah. Okay. You're playing with other PS3, or if you're Xbox, your other Xbox, or your PC, your other PC.
So they're rolling in the results across three platforms to say, okay, here's what happens.
Right.
6 weeks down the road,
right.
Because each of these platforms did that.
Right.
Interesting. The premise of that I thought was pretty cool, because it might even be on Wii, too. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of logos in the bottom of those.
Tons.
System console stuff on the advertisement. So that idea of being able to play, you know, and PC console cross, as we were talking before the show, a console and a PC gamer can't compete in a first-person shooter. You know, a lot of those times, the lag time or the quality or the translation of the controls doesn't let you. But an MMO has some of that capability to do that, where you're not millisecond timing. You know, it's a lot of time-based, like fire, 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 and it counts down and cools down and warms up. I thought that would have been cool to see some of that.
Right.
I was just thinking, you know, if it's on all those platforms and they're taking results from all three of them, gosh, how do you keep track of something like that? You know?
They must have some kind of massive back end calculator that.
That'd be really interesting. I'd be interesting to see how.
It's got to be. I mean, I don't know. They said it's dynamic. Now, whether they're lying or not, who knows?
Sure.
But it's got to be something where it's based on kills of a certain thing. Or something like that that will influence whether those enemies are in the show or not. I don't know.
I wonder how close to or the other end of more like The Walking Dead, where you feel like you have this impact of change. Like, you're making decisions, they've plotted some of those things out, and the chances wheeled in and wheeled out. But ultimately, I would love to see the board of the Telltale Room to show what all the arcs are and how those all connect. That would be the storyteller dream in me to see what that graphed out looked like. But a lot of the times, those things don't. You don't really know what impact certain things are. Like, which person do you save may not actually matter, because the person at the end of the episode doesn't show up in the next episode or whatever. But you've made an impact. You made a change.
Yeah.
Through some of that, because writers need to plan out arcs, budgeters, directors.
Right.
You know, you can't just be that. So it probably all channels towards maybe two or three impacts, but at least it feels like you're sitting there with your friends or wife watching the show. You're like, I did that. I was part of that.
Yeah, no,
it's
really
cool.
Yeah, the coolest thing is, even though it's only the first, pilot episode one instance or whatever, but I was playing last night and this humongous red circle appeared on the map. And I got a
world event.
Yeah, I got a thing on my UI that said, check your map, there's this humongous battle going on. So I'm like, okay. So I checked it out, and it was taking up 30% of the map. It was certainly on console, the biggest battle I've ever seen, as far as real people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, heck, I'm going to get over there. And there were 1,000 people, last night, fighting this humongous monster, bullet sponge monster. And it was saying, it said, some character came over the radio and said some voiceover thing that some main character is going to die if we don't kill this thing by whatever already. And it's the show hasn't even started yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's awesome. If they're actually going to go there and allow us to make that change, that's cool.
I wonder if it's the early 90s, full motion video games that would shoot sequence, like seven sequences of the same thing to kind of see based yeah. on the choose your own adventure right. level of it. Like, are they filming that? I'm curious to see the science of the underlying, that they know there's maybe three massive decisions it can get to.
Right.
They're going to film all
right.
three.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then at that point, the audience impacts it. They've picked three decisions, but we've actually filmed it all. It's all in the can. We're just sequencing it up from the editing perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, working, you and what you do in your daily life and,
yeah.
the advertising that I work in when I work on a product and I see it in the grocery store or I see it on a website, like I did that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Or like a TV commercial, like I worked on portions of that.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Not a lot of people get that level of impact of what they do during a day. And it may seem small and really geeky to sit there and be like, you know what? We defeated Shai-Hulud,
yeah.
the great worm,
who cares?
In the middle of Earth.
Who cares?
You know, and it determined the fact that, you know, T'Pol lived
right.
and showed up in the pilot episode.
Right, it's
because
cool.
we say, I saved T'Pol.
Yeah.
Know, like, yay!
No, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And certainly as a console first player, to see that many real people like descending on this battle was a really cool thing, because I don't usually play PC, so I don't see
now that. What's the level of armor customization? Because I know that that is a level of when servers need to load on
yeah.
the appearance, it
yeah.
basically says the more unique appearances,
right.
the harder it is. That's why I know
Planet
Side keeps
yeah.
it like three or four armor types.
No, actually, I already have like five different ways to outfit my character, and I've only been playing it for a week.
Okay.
Now,
and
that means they
look different. Because, for instance, I know Guild Wars 2 ran into this in their what they call world versus world and big things,
yeah.
where the system could not handle enough characters on screen.
Yeah.
So you would just see floating names.
Oh, really?
You
would
just see a name title moving around. And maybe there might be one person, but that person might actually represent 30 people
right.
showing up there, but it can't load all the skins and do
right.
all of that
wow.
fast enough. And I don't know if they fixed it yet, but that was an early days problem. But that's cool that if you're seeing...
I've seen crazy stuff already. And like I said, I've only been playing it for a week. So I'm if the level of customization stays what I've already seen, I would still be happy. Because like I said, I already have five different outfits. So like I have different loadouts. And every time I change my loadout, because I'm a super nerd, I like change my outfit. So I got my sniper cape for like being a sniper. And I've got like this huge armor thing for like one of my heavy weapons dudes. So like if it stayed that for an MMO, just like that's incredible to me.
Yeah.
Like, especially on a console. Like
I would probably be even okay with the fact that if in massive battles, like you pass them like... You run, as soon as you run in that red circle, it puts everyone down at like
yeah.
four color palettes.
Right.
But when you get out of that,
right.
it's
you're,
now,
who are you?
Or you're back into your city or whatever, now you give all your cosmetic beauty.
Right.
Because I think most people would be, in that instance, not caring what their neighbor looks like.
Yeah,
as
you
long
just
as
want
they
them
difference,
fighting.
Like,
yeah.
All right, that's a mage and
right.
that's a warrior and that's a archer.
Right.
I can tell the difference.
Right.
But whether you're green or blue or pink or purple
right.
is irrelevant when you've got a bullet sponge in front of you.
Right, right. Yeah, but I mean, like, who knows? I mean, who knows? I'm the first person to admit that I'm fickle, and I'm the first person to admit that I'm a scatterbrain gamer and I play everything. So, who knows if I'll be into it in a month.
Yeah.
But I know for now, they've hooked me on seeing the pilot and the first episode to see if the show is good. And for now, they've hooked me to get to level 100 or whatever
yeah.
and see upper level weapons and stuff. Because
you're
fun.
At least the second person I've heard that says that, like, you watch shows. I have a coworker that doesn't even watch sci-fi stuff, like the
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
But he's like, I bought the game because the premise of all of it just seemed really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And he's like, I had a couple of my bro friends that were all into it. None of them watched the shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's... So, kudos to sci-fi for giving that a
yeah.
role in a,
yeah.
in a world. And that's the level of planning. You know, that's got... That must have been 3, 4, 5 years out to come up
yep.
with that type of thing. And with MMOs failing and switching to free-to-play
yeah.
left and right.
Yeah.
Kudos to them for keeping... Just trying to do something
yeah.
like that.
Yes. Yeah. Especially to involve all the console players, too. Because, like I said, like I never get that on my big screen. Like, you never see a battle like that on Xbox. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty cool to see more than, like, 16 people in server.
Yeah.
See, like, 1,000 people rushing this monster was awesome. And it was cool to be a part of it. Because, like, we all jumped on our, like, dystopian ATVs. And we're like, let's do it! And we're all, like, emoting. We're all like, rah!
On the third day, look for me to the east.
Right.
We ride for Rohan.
We rode towards this humongous bug, and I don't know
yeah.
why I'm killing him, but I need to. So that was awesome, yeah.
Great.
So before we wrap up this inaugural reboot, which will go up when, Andrea?
Not Monday, actually. This one's going to go up Tuesday, which
Happy
is
Moo's
9,
Day.
Which is Moo's official first birthday.
Aww.
So, yeah, we've done a lot of videos, have a lot of video views, and... quite a few subscribers.
Are we ready
so.
For solid food? Is that 1 year? You have kids.
Yeah, it's around that point. Walking. All right. Well, at least walking.
We're walking.
Yay.
About 10 months is usually about when they start, if they're really aggressive walking.
That's so awesome. Well, we're aggressive, if anything. So but we're ready for
moving
solid
into
food.
That point. Now we'll start banging our heads on things left and right.
Well, we've already been doing that. Yeah. So. Awesome. But before we leave, we cannot leave without talking about LucasArts. Oh, my God. There's the saddest news I've heard gaming-wise in the past month is that LucasArts is now officially closed by Disney. So Disney bought Star Wars and then closed down Star Wars video game house. Hmm. I am a sad panda about this news. I don't know how many LucasArts adventure games you've played, maybe, Ryan?
I did some relooking on some of that, and I had a few. Many ones that I remember.
Yeah.
You know, like Loom and The Dig and... you know, some of those that were pretty unique in that grouping, but TIE Fighter and X-Wing were great.
Yes.
Even the Force Unleashed, despite some weird hiccups inside that console game, was pretty cool inside some of that.
It's so sad. And they never gave me a Battlefront 3, which is, I will hate them.
Didn't
forever.
They have like 3 hours of footage that got leaked like six months ago or something?
Yes.
See, I feel bad for the fans. Like, for someone like me, I don't care.
You don't care that much about Star Wars?
Not really.
Oh my God, woman!
How about Indiana Jones? They had some amazing ones.
I like the Star Wars movies, not the 4, 5, and 6, not the new ones, 1, 2.
Yeah,
three,
not the crap ones.
No, the originals. I like the movies, but beyond that, not.
Doesn't you're not gonna cry in your coffee about Star Wars?
No.
Oh.
Now Call of Duty, maybe.
Oh yeah. God. Jesus. Don't worry, they're never going to cancel your precious billion-dollar Call of Duty.
I actually hear that the new one is rumored to be, was it Call of Duty Ghosts?
Yeah.
And they have Ghosts on the cover? Ooh.
Yeah.
They should make a Call of Duty soap.
Oh, God.
Call of Duty soap.
Well, he's a ghost now since he's dead.
That's true.
There you go.
But I think, you know, what I was looking forward to, you know, for those who heard about Star Wars 1313.
Yeah.
At a level of... You know, I'm a diehard fan. I've kind of tapered off the books, but in the comics for a long while ago. But in getting to reintroduce the movies and the franchise to my 4.5-year-old, I always loved the Star Wars, the Clone Wars TV series as well. So, like, it's not just the LucasArts studio that's closed. Disney is making some interesting decisions, and I'm not going to call them bad or weird. I don't know, you know, what the plans are quite yet for some of how that is,
right.
But. The Star Wars Clone Wars season 5 just ended and they're done. They said no 6.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They left storylines resolved but also weirdly unfinished too. And making some of these, you know, 1313 looked like a step in.
It looked awesome.
A unique direction of adult, you know, taking the franchise in a new direction. When you put it up against things like Star Wars Detours, the weird TV show.
Right.
Look at the trailer, it's very quirky and weird and, you know, you kill something like the Clone Wars versus keeping Detours, it just is like, what's going on?
Right.
And 1313 said, hey, we can have it at both ends. You know, we can have really immature content and we can have really mature content.
Right.
And LucasArts as a studio has done that through lots of stuff with, you know, a lot of their titles and taken chances and always, you know, they were, it was the Scrum engine or whatever it was, like they invented that kind of... Maniac Mansion and, you know, a lot of those early...
Monkey Island.
You know, and, you know, Telltale has them right now.
Yeah.
And I heard just an interesting thing the other day. I can't remember. Was it Tim Schafer or whoever it was that did the Monkey Island?
Tim Schafer.
Franchise. He is fighting Disney to get the franchise back because in the sale, he lost it. While Telltale is doing their thing, Tim can't do it. And Disney has this thing with a lot of stuff that they just put it in the vault.
Yeah.
They're like, they just buy franchises and keep them under wraps.
Right.
You know, and he was... joking is the fact of, you know, the fact that I ripped off Pirates of the Caribbean and made Monkey Island, it's kind of weird that it ended up back at the home, but I'd love to make a game again with that. So it's sad, and what, I think 150 people lost their jobs, which is always a sad thing, and I think the industry across the board, it's one thing when Disney, who's not a, you know, they've had their struggles in gaming, making a decision to close down the studio for reasons that are weird, but when you've got, you know, the... Kingdoms of Amalur studio that I'm blanking
on. Yeah, 38. Yeah.
That closed under weird things and lawsuits, and you just had the Silicon Knights thing finally get resolved around their stuff. I mean, studios are working really hard, no matter whether they're, you know, second year in running EA, worst company in America, but they are all trying to find ways to make it work. And when you have a studio that has been doing well, at least from a fan's perspective and things, it seems strange to just say, we're closing you down.
Yeah.
You know. Sad. And Andrea's, you know, favorite Saints Row the fourth, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, another whole THQ debacle inside there. And the fact that that's going forward is great. You know, it could have ended up, you know, just dissolved type of thing. And, you know, I'm a Darksiders fan and, you know, franchises that just go away leave, you know, fans kind of...
So parting shot then, going on the LucasArts thing. Mm-hmm. The only ray of sunshine I can find is that now it frees up other companies to develop, like Star Wars or Indiana Jones or Maniac Mansion or whatever, related games, provided they can get the licensing from Disney. So what studio or what type of game would you like to see the next Star Wars game be made of? Like, would you like to see a Call of Duty Star Wars?
No. Call of Duty is Call of Duty.
Would you like to see a Tomb Raider-y Star Wars?
See, for Star Wars games, I don't think I would buy it. I'm just...
What?
I'm just not... I'm not into it.
You are out of control.
I know. Yeah.
I don't know if I can look at
it. I haven't played any Star Wars games. I like the movies, but...
You make me sad.
Yeah, I know.
You don't like Indiana Jones?
Oh, I like Indiana Jones, too.
Okay, so what would make a good Indiana Jones game?
I don't know if I'd play it. I feel like I'd probably go for other Star Wars. Call of Duty.
Jesus.
Saints Row.
Because really, Tomb Raider and Indiana Jones are the same, just a lot less guns.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I don't have any expectations for it. I think if someone were to say, oh, here's a Star Wars game.
You'd give it a big meh and keep going?
Yes, but if it did something that would made it look interesting to me, I might try it. But just in general, I don't go for the Star Wars games.
It makes me sad. Ryan?
I haven't.
I think there is a lot of expanded universe stuff that, you know, potentially now that Lucas is not the controlling person that is there, there is a lot to tip into. And, you know, Disney, you know, I hope they look at that as that an opportunity to say, okay, there's a lot of EU stuff out there that we can really take a look at. That generally, whether it's EU or not, the fans kind of accept it as canon.
Right.
You know, especially if it's in a book or printed form and not hearsay about what is inside there. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a game type or even a studio, but that there is stuff out there that I think they have always tried within many of the Star Wars things to shoehorn in something in between. This is Star Wars 2.5.
Right.
You know, they've managed to get a couple of characters that have existed inside games into the broader EU, you know, Starkiller and Kane.
Right.
And probably not Kane or something like that. For all the Jedi outcasts and the various, like, they've been at least accepted
Karn,
in. Karn? Yeah. So, accepted into those universes. You know, I think seeing what the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic did for, you know, it was less about the game type that it started, at least an offshoot that was not so grounded in the Lucas fist of the world that gave them a little bit of latitude.
Right.
And that was kind of cool to see it in a darker, more real light. And
here are my dreams. You want to hear my dreams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here are my two Star Wars dreams. Number one, they license DICE to make Battlefront and make it serious, like more serious than it was. Like actually get into how the different weapons, like,
why
have different
DICE?
Handling. Because I love Battlefield. And because Battlefield is so good at doing huge destructible environments. And I would pay... I would give away my animals and my piano for...
Are the animals in order, or are they just one bundle?
I'd throw all the animals in a big duffel bag like Santa, and I'd pay it to Disney for them to give me
to make you this game.
A humongous, destructible Battle of Hoth. I would pay so much money for that, like you don't even know. So that's number one.
Then
number two, I want BioWare or someone else like them to get back that Knights of the Old Republic license and make another one. Because those RPGs were so good.
Even though the actual MMO is out there and based off a lot of the way they do their games.
Okay. No, bring back the awesome Knights of the Old Republic single player RPG. Those were so good. And added so much to the lore and had the best writing and voiceover ever. So I want those things right now, Disney. Listen to me.
And speaking of, you know, I'll be in Disneyland in 2 weeks or so.
You
from
go
today,
tell them.
And I will go knock on their door, and my 4.5-year-old's lining up for the Jedi Academy. They actually have exclusive toys of Disney characters dressed as Star Wars characters.
Really?
Stitch as Grievous. And
only a matter of
various
time.
Ones. I actually, oddly enough, think that would be hilarious. Kind of the Kingdom Hearts
right,
equivalent
Star
of
Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Would be kind of fun.
That would be cool, actually.
You know, the whatever that big goofy guy, Bruto, or whatever, right. You know, as, you know,
right.
Darth Sidious or something right. like that would be pretty funny. So.
Right. Well, this has been a productive episode, guys. Welcome again, Ryan.
Yes.
And as always, enjoy our audio version, but also enjoy our YouTube version. You can check us out a million places. Andrea, why don't you run down where people can find us?
Oh, boy. Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, our website.
All of them are just at Monday MooCast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please check us out. Please interact with us. Please leave us comments and likes on the video version. Tell us what you want to hear more of. Tell us who you want to hear less of, probably me. And we will catch you next time. We'll see ya.
Moo!